Welcome to A Downsized Life. I'm your host, Danny Brown, and in the winter of 2019, my wife and I moved our family from a sprawling city in southern Ontario, Canada, to a small town 3 hours north. This podcast is about our journey to downsizing our lives. Lessons learned, successes earned, and everything in between. If you're looking to downsize your life, then join us and listen for free at downsizepod.com or wherever you relax with podcasts.
My point is always, you know, let's focus on things that we have in common. Because in general, this is very unfortunate part of a discourse these days, that people seem to be focusing on this little thing that we disagree and let's fight over that. But there's like all these things that we agree on.
This week, I'm talking to Tommy Serafinski, host of Tommy's Outdoors, a show that talks about biodiversity, conservation, hunting and fishing, rewilding, and much more. And they're all interconnected topics, which we'll definitely get into on the episode. So, Tommy, welcome to the show. How about you tell the listeners about yourself and your podcast?
Hey, Danny, and hey, everybody. Thanks for the opportunity to be on your podcast. Yeah, so like you said, Tommy's Outdoors, we are focusing on human-wildlife interactions, human-wildlife conflict, conservation, hunting and fishing, rewilding, our relation with nature, our human relationship with nature. It was like a long-winded, maybe not long, but it was, we arrived at this format of the show and this subject of the show from, the original idea, which was dedicated to everything outdoors, but it was like, a little bit of a experimenting involved into how the show going to look like and what it's going to evolve into. Like we spoke a little bit earlier, and one of my guests on one of the podcasts said that, this podcast is like my complicated hobby, right? Because I have my day job. So I didn't come up with a business plan or anything, and this is going to be a show and like this. It was kind of organic, born out of my a labor of love, really. I was doing what I liked, and I'm sure we can get into more details of the story, how it came to be. Long story short, this is a podcast about human wildlife interactions, and I think that the unique part of the show is that I talk with sort of two sides of the story always, because something I didn't know and something I actually learned more about when I was doing a podcast was that around conservation and environmental issues, there is incredible amount of conflict and opposing views. Which I wasn't aware of that, I came kind of naive to that. It's like, oh, conservation, we want to protect nature and animals. Who wouldn't want that, right? There's like everybody's on the same page, right? Not necessarily. And the complexity of these subjects and all the little points and little points of view, and actually, when you listen to people, everybody is right. So, I think that. The big thing for me is that I talk both with hunters and anglers, and I talk with environmentalists, and I talk with people who are, in NGOs, and I talk with, for example, lady who works in seal rescue sanctuary, and then I talk with a trawler man who, so one lady focuses her, work and time on helping seals and rehabilitating seals and so on, and then on the next episode I have a trawler man who goes like, shoot the bastards, right? I always say that it's this huge advantage for me that people of different points of view listening to my podcast, because I say, like, if even after all these 100 however many episodes right now, if even one person says, oh, I never thought about that, right? That's my job done. That's a success, that they present different points of view. So I think this is definitely the direction that I'm taking the show, which is not easy on occasions because you have people, you know, I sometimes feel like with every episode, there's like a half of my audience gets upset with me, you know, but this is my idea is like the, we can only make progress by talking to each other and presenting each other points of view. And, you know, if you disagree with something, that's okay. I often disagree with my guests on stuff, but it's not my job to, you know, challenge them or convince them, but sort of give a platform to present their point of view. And then I have somebody else who present different point of view and we can have these conversations. So that's I think, like a big thing for me with my show.
Mm, and you'd mentioned there that you've got 100 plus episodes. It actually premiered back in 2016 on my birthday month in October in 2016. What were your goals for it at that time? With because it's very different from your day job, obviously, as we were speaking about in the green room before the episode. But what were your goals for it and how's that evolved since that first episode?
Yeah, I can maybe back out even further. Before I had a podcast, right? It's a podcaster story. So really my story is like I started with a blog and, you know, as an outdoorsman, I was originally an angler, right? Angling was my thing or recreational fishing with rod and line, if you like. And that was, you know, these were times before Facebooks and all those things. And there was a time where people have these bulletin boards, these messaging forums, and we have like an angling forum in Poland back in the days. And we were, you know, posting photos and all that stuff. And it was like a photo manager called Picasa, which was sadly killed by Google. I still think that this was the best photo manager ever. Yeah. Ever, like even Lightroom not comes close because it was so lightweight. And Picasa had this button on the bottom says blog this. And I didn't even know what it is. I don't know what a blog is, right? So I clicked it and I was like, oh, it set up me a site. And it's like, oh, cool. So that's how I started my blog. And I started blogging, you know, and the always idea was that I wasn't blogging like on the regular intervals or anything, but it was like if something interesting happened, I was writing a blog post, posting photos, and you know, it was cool. So I was doing that for over 10 years. And in the meantime, I moved to Ireland. You know, it was like a whole new fishing opportunities here, you know, fishing in the ocean. And then, you know, I get a little bit of a disposable income, I guess. So I, you know, went to Africa and was doing some, you know, expensive fishing trips, and that was also fun. And I was putting blog posts and all that. But because I never wanted, you know, like, oh, I went fishing and I caught 3 bass, and then like, oh, I was fishing and I caught 1 bass. And like, this always had to be something new, some different angle. So naturally, after 10 plus years, it kind of died down. It was, you know, so I stopped posting. It was like nothing new and interesting on it. But I enjoyed this thing. I enjoyed interactions with people. I enjoyed sharing my experiences in the outdoors. And so, you know, I thought like, well, first of all, it would be cool to have to do it in the English language, just to reach the wider audience and maybe being, you know, more local. And also, because, you know, English is obviously not my first language, speaking is easier than writing. So podcast was a natural choice. I was, let's do the podcast. So that's how it started. And actually, little known fact is that I had a podcast in Polish language, which was started only just to learn stuff, just to figure out how that this podcasting thing works. Because I, you know, I knew as much about podcasting as I knew about blogging back then, clicking that button. So I probably recorded like 20 episodes of podcast in Polish language, and kind of like in parallel, well, later on, maybe when I was on episode, you know, 10 or 15, I started this podcast, Tommy's Outdoors, where it was initially, you know, again, irregular episodes. And probably since episode 6 or 7, I kind of committed to schedule every 2 weeks. And man, it's like 4 years now, and I haven't missed a one. So that's a little achievement. So yeah, that was the start of that whole endeavor.
And that's awesome. That takes a lot of, you know yourself, it takes a lot of commitment to keep going. You know, obviously you moved from the blog because it was getting less enjoyable, if you like, to the podcast. So, you know, I know how much effort goes into that. So kudos on like 5 years, 4 or 5 years on it. It's amazing. And you mentioned, obviously, one of the things that I enjoyed about your show, and I'm glad you mentioned it earlier, your role isn't to offer a definitive opinion. Your role as the host and your guest to bring them on is to educate and let people and let the listeners make their own minds up based on your guests and what they've brought. And an episode I really enjoyed, or one of the episodes that I really enjoyed, was your most recent one, funnily enough, with Mark Boyden, who was speaking about, you know, conservation and going back to your conversation about, you know, the different viewpoints where everybody's actually right when it comes to conversation. And you mentioned that he changed your way of thinking, which is kind of cool. And so what would you say has been the biggest example of someone changing your mind or making you think a very different way from how you had been prior to an episode being recorded?
Oh, it's an interesting question. I put you this way. I learn something in every episode, and especially that, you know, I'm not the ecologist. I'm not the, you know, I don't have a formal education in wildlife or conservation or environment, anything like that. I'm a computer guy, right? Like, simplistically speaking. So I learn so much that, you know, and you know yourself, you record the episode and you're present while you're recording an episode, but you're not present because you're also a sound engineer and you're looking at all the different things, right? And then you're editing the episode and you're listening to it second time and you pick up on the new things that you haven't heard before. And then, you know, you're listening for the third time or fourth time once it's published. And it's like, oh, so, you know, quite often it's not even a matter of changing my mind, as if like, whoa, I never knew about that, you know? And, you know, in case of Mark, it was interesting because he kind of changed the way how I plan the episode, because, you know, like in this case, you know, fish farms and salmon farming is like a known bad guy. So I was expecting him going, you know, like all guns blazing. And he shut it down completely. I said, like, well, we you know, this is not our business. We have no official opinion on it. We're focusing on something else, right? And it was surprising initially, but then I was like, yeah, that's actually, you know, refreshing, because like, if everybody, you know, has like goes all gun blazing, then there is no other way. And he actually, you know, he said, like, yeah, I'm well aware of many things, but we purposefully taking this way. And the same was in with the episode with Sea Rescue Ireland. In other words, there's two. One is Seal Sanctuary, one is Seal Rescue Ireland, where the lady also was like, very, this is what we do, and this is what we're going to talk about. And not, there's in many other subjects, but we are focusing on this. And I always appreciate this, you know, clear mission. This is what we do, and we're not getting bogged down by, you know, various other things. I probably didn't answer your question, but anyway.
No. It's interesting because to your point, it's not black and white. You know, I grew up thinking that, you know, any kind of, not any kind of hunting, that's wrong, but any kind of control, if you like, was bad. But then you realize, well, if a certain pest is let to breed uncontrolled, that can cause other ecological damage. And so you start to learn as you get older, and you start to educate yourself more and listen to people like yourself and your guests. You learn more, which is to your point. I think it's important that we keep our minds open, not just what our firm belief is, because that's not always the right one.
Exactly. This is so nuanced, so complex, so, you know, anyone who says like, yeah, this is this way, is like, well, really, you know.
Yeah, but and I know that's something that I want to speak about, actually, because obviously one of the topics you cover is hunting, and this can often, you know, result in a negative connotation from animal lovers or animal rights groups, etc. Is it a difficult, or do you find it a difficult topic? Because you mentioned that you're back in Poland, you were fishing and hunting. Do you find that sometimes a difficult topic to try and educate on, or what's your feeling on that?
Look, there is quite a few episodes, both already published and in the pipeline, taking on that subject. Again, it's very complex. My main thing is like, we cannot
try to educate people forcefully. So if someone has already predetermined point of view and is not open to revising their view, right, they're not going to change their view, right? So this is like an old military thing that you're not attacking fortified positions because that's where they are expecting attack, right? So if you're dealing with animal lover or you know, ethical vegan, you know, there is no point going like hunting is actually very good and hunting is conservation and go educate yourself, right? This is absolutely not the way to go. So my point is always, you know, let's focus on things that we have in common. Because in general, this is very unfortunate part of a discourse these days that people seems to be focusing on this little thing that we disagree and let's fight over that. But there's like all these things that we agree on. So, you know, this is where I'm trying to focus on what are the common parts where we can agree on some, we can agree on something. And if then happens that, you know, I had many scientists who are hunters, right, or who are anglers, and the subject was completely not about that. And they say, oh, you know, by the way, I'm also an angler. It's like, oh, I didn't know, right? And I can share with you and with the listeners story from my own podcast, where it was one of the first episodes of the podcast when I was recording with a lovely lady, and we were talking about she was in her late 50s, early 60s, I think, and we talked about you know, connection with nature and how you know, growing your own vegetables and how great it is for your mental health and all that stuff, right? And I didn't know any better. I said, like, yeah, exactly. It's the same with the hunters. They have this connection with their food and they can, you know, and I can see like she stiffens up and she goes like, I am against hunting. And like, and she kind of rattles off these things that she clearly heard somewhere, right? Against hunting with dogs. And like, clearly she doesn't know anything about hunting with dogs, right? But she knows that she is against that because, right? So, okay, we move on to the next subject and talk about other things. And we finish the podcast. And when we finish, like, she said, oh, yeah, Tommy, great conversation. You're in my tribe. We understand each other. But that's it. We move on, right? Mm-hmm. Next time the subject of hunting comes up, that lady will have in the back of her head, I actually know one guy who is actually a good guy and we have so much in common and he's a hunter, right? And this is the way how you're changing people's attitude and people, you know, you're not trying to force something down their throat. It's just like, okay, like, what is that makes you tick, right? Connection with nature, growing vegetables. Great. It's fantastic, right? So this is how I approach this subject. And but that doesn't mean that I have an episode that are straight up hunting, right? Sweden is hunting is one of them. I had a hunter on the podcast and we, you know, dive deep and very geeky about hunting and, you know, what calibers and what, you know, what you do and how you do all these things. Sure. But then because I'm, you know, some part of my audience will not listen to that episode. But maybe someone will. And they, you know, and they pick up stuff and say, like, oh, okay, so that actually is a big culture. And actually everybody in Sweden, you know, 90% is okay with hunting. And actually this is how it goes and this is how it's managed. And that way. So I am not finding that difficult per se, because I'm not trying to force anything. I'm trying to be natural with what I do and who I speak with.
And that ties me into a recent episode as well. I think it was maybe 6 or 8 episodes ago with Lucy McRobert, the communication professional, but who's also using storytelling and communication to educate and help educate, and goes back to your point there about it's not about forcing views, Dan. It's about communicating views and letting people understand, you know, from that. And what I liked about that episode, so obviously Lucy's awesome at doing that and getting what can be difficult topics across well because of her approach. But what I also found interesting about that episode, and it goes back to your point earlier about us being very minute on what we choose to attack and what we choose to go after, is social media and its impact on mental health, and how social is really, you know, distracting all the good work that can be done and all the educational stuff that can be done. And I wonder, because of the topics that your show is on about, as you mentioned, some of your listeners won't listen to hunting stuff, some won't listen about more ecological stuff or whatever. Because of that, have you ever been attacked or trolled online, or has your guest shared examples? Mm-hmm. Because all mm-hmm. they've been trying to do is educate, but then you've got the very tunnel visioned people coming mm-hmm. after you or coming after them?
Honestly, no. And I think that a lot of people, like, you know, like I think that just listeners or followers or viewers, whoever they are, who have this tunnel vision and not enjoying this type of content, they probably drop off quite quickly.
Danny Brown, 1 minute podcast tips, outstanding technology series. Hey, Canadian Podcast Awards, thank you so much for this. To even be nominated was an honour, so this is just the icing on a very grateful cake. When I first started the show back in 2022, I wasn't even sure if there'd be listeners for it. After all, who wants to listen to an episode that's only a minute long? Well, thankfully it turns out a few people, and this award is further validation for that, so thank you again. Congratulations to all the nominees and winners tonight, and here's to continued excellence in the Canadian podcasting scene. Enjoy the rest of the awards.
And on many occasions, I had, I'm trying to think about negative, like I can only really think about one, right? So let me qualify that. For sure, I had a comments like, oh, I disagree with your guests on this and that, right? I listened to the podcast and I think that this guest, you know, I agree with part of it, but here and here, you know, I did disagree, or that obviously happened. But one that was probably the most, like Ron Thompson, he's a ranger, or he was a ranger in African, one of the biggest game reserves in Africa, and you know he got himself in the BBC show with Piers Brock, what's his name? Piers Morgan, yeah, they kick him out from one show and now he's in a different show. Yeah. I don't really follow these things, you can tell. And so, you know, he got on the show with him and he got a lot of heat, a lot of hate, and like, oh, you know, he killed like 5,000 elephants and, you know, like, well, yeah, but that was like a 2-year-long planned government operation of elephant call, and he was leading that operation, right? So people with complete no clue, it's like, how it happened that rangers didn't, you know, arrest him? Like, dude, he was the ranger, he was leading that operation. There was abattoir built to process meat of those elephants, right? But people go like, so I had him on the podcast, and you know, obviously he got a lot of abuse online and otherwise. So obviously he also, that, you know, leaves the mark on personality, right? If you constantly attack, then you maybe, you know, everybody have their own way of dealing with that. But it was a lovely episode. He comes across as very knowledgeable, nice guy. And that was one episode when I got like a comments on Facebook, death threats, you know, how dare you talking to this guy, you know, it reflects badly on you and on your show and all this. But that happened only once.
Wow.
And I think that because he got such a huge negative publicity, there was kind of like a fallback of that. But, you know, that's fine. I'm not particularly bothered. You know, I would never not talk to someone on a podcast I like to talk to, because, you know, someone might not like it, or they might, you know, I don't care. If you don't like, then don't listen or unsubscribe. You know, like I said, it's very comfortable position, I admit, because like I said, this is my complicated hobby.
Mm.
And so I don't care if I have 100 followers more. I do care, right? Don't get me wrong. Like, all my followers are very valued. And folks, thank you for listening to this podcast and my podcast. But if someone, you know, doesn't enjoy it or doesn't even, like, okay, that's fine. I'm not going to lose sleep on that. So I absolutely will talk to anyone I feel like is interesting and can contribute to the conversation.
And it makes sense. It's like, and again, it goes back to why I enjoy the show. It's these very varied topics, and I'm only getting really dug into it now. I've listened to maybe 10 or 12 episodes, so I've got a huge back catalogue to go through. But
thanks for listening.
I've had so far, I'm really enjoying it. And so you mentioned earlier as well, you're originally from Poland, but now you're in Ireland. What have you found has been different from the culture around outdoors between the two countries, and maybe how they approach, you know, say hunting, you know, ecological stuff, etc. What's the differences there?
First of all, I don't think I can truly answer that question, because in Poland I was very much city boy, right? Born and raised in the city, finished university in the city. First, you know, 5-10 years of my career was in the, you know, Wuchen, which was at the time the biggest, second biggest city in Poland after fall of communism. There was you know, changes and. But then I moved to Warsaw, you know, obviously Warsaw, big city, you know, technology. So I was always, you know, the biggest, like, a contact with nature in Poland was we had like a summer house, and I call it summer house because it wasn't really suitable to spend winter, like a Polish winter in it. But we always try to spend, you know, like a 3-4 months of summer in that house. It was in the rural areas. And so obviously as a kid, I had a holidays, two months of vacations. And then I had an option to work remotely, you know, one of the benefits of computer industry. And even though it was early 2000s, I was already working remotely. So like more time I was spending there. So I enjoyed that. And I was doing fishing, I was going on holidays, and there was like in a pond or something, we went out fishing. But mostly I was a city guy, city boy. When I moved to Ireland, I moved to a rural area. You know, the County Kerry, where I'm based, is called like a holiday county. You know, tourism and farming and you know, and there was, even when I was looking at, you know, to accept an offer of job in Ireland, you know, I look up where it is. I was like, wow, is it ocean and mountains, you know, and everything in one place? Like in Poland, you need to drive the whole day to, you know, to be in the mountains or go to the sea. So I go like, yeah, I'm there. So I came here and it was like a truly this open doors. But to answer your question, I think that Ireland is so fantastically accessible in terms of outdoor activities, you know, whether it's cycling, whether it's golfing, even whether it's hunting or fishing, it's so much more accessible to try than in Poland. So I enjoyed that, and I think that gives me opportunity to try many different things, and, you know, pick and choose the ones that I like. You know, I think, again, especially in the area where I live, there is not that densely populated. You know, there's no big cities, there's no big crowds, there's relative easy access to, you know, fishing, hunting, golfing, cycling, you name it. So that's one thing. Other thing is that definitely is something that I didn't realize at first, but then as I was doing the podcast and I was talking to members of environmental NGOs and so on, I realized how depleted the nature is in Ireland. It's very, very, there's like almost nothing left compared to Poland, where in Poland, and in general, you know, there's one other episode where I also discussed that with one of the scientists, that, you know, the further east you move in Europe, the nature is richer. There's more left, if you like, because the industrialization and was kind of, you know, lagging a little bit, and that left more space for wildlife. So I think that the part of that is that the Poland is on the east of Europe, but also is bigger. It's not so farming heavy. So that's another thing coming from the perspective of you know, human wildlife interactions, and this is like this interesting thing, because, you know, when I was starting the podcast, like I said, it was, you know, the tagline was dedicated to everything outdoors. When I was, you know, trying different things, and I had an episode about running and cycling and, you know, sailing, all these stuff, and then over time it kind of morphed into like, okay, I think that human-wildlife interactions is that area, is that niche, if you like, that is really interesting. And there's a lot to talk about here, and there's a lot to educate people. There's a lot to do and a lot to learn to that. And then, you know, from that perspective, I went out and saying, oh, okay, I see what's going on. So I think that on one hand, Ireland is much more accessible. It's easier to start, you know, either hunting or fishing or any other outdoor activity. On the other hand, if you're a wildlife lover or would like to, you know, see biodiversity, well, this is really far behind.
Maybe hop over the channel and get a little bit further out. Now, we mentioned, obviously, earlier you said the show's in its fifth year now, and it's evolved, you know.
Fourth year. Yeah, yeah.
So it's evolved quite a bit from its original, you know, inception. What's the goals? What's the plans for the future of Tommy's Outdoors? Are you going to continue with the format as it is now? Would you look to get back into in-person recording? What's your goals?
This is what we, I think, said earlier in the green room, that, you know, I started with a lot of in-person recording. I was traveling, and it was, you know, the part of a gig that I was packing all my gear and going to meet the guests and all that, you know. Obviously, because of COVID and all these things, it's 100% remote right now. I think, like, last year I recorded one episode, 99, was in person with an old hunter and wild fowler who lives nearby. It was great, you know, great talk to him and do like one in-person recording. But to answer your question, I am not under pressure, so I'm not looking on the revolution, it's evolution. And I think the show is evolving all the time. And a lot of this evolution is driven by, you know, what I observe, what is happening. There are opportunities that I didn't envisage when I was starting a show, right? So, for example, the research institutions, research projects reaching out saying, hey, would you like to talk about our project, right? We have a scientist to talk about it. So that's great. A scientific community have an interest in this. And this is like, I think there's also like a substantial portion of my audience are, you know, people from academia. So that's one thing. The other thing is that also increasingly the publishers are reaching out and you know, want to talk about, you know, either want the author of the book interviewed or one, you know, the, which is also very interesting, because then, you know, I kind of, it goes on my radar, you know, who does what and interesting people and so on. So I enjoy these things as well. But I think that overall the trajectory I'm on going to stay for, so, you know, obviously like every podcaster, I would like to grow my audience. I would like to have, you know, bigger reach, bigger, you know, like all these things, but they are not particularly specific to Tommy's Outdoors. I definitely would like to develop further the platform as a platform for conversation, as a platform for presenting different points of view. And, you know, having said that, I'm not hiding my points of view, right? I'm a hunter and angler, right? That's one thing. But I also agree with a lot of things that, you know, that hunters wouldn't be particularly happy me saying. And I agree with a lot of things that rewilding, for example, movement suggests. And, you know, I love the idea. I appreciate all the problems. I appreciate all the difficulties. But in general idea, I like the idea. So maybe, you know, I could lead by example and sort of say, hey, people, come and listen to Tommy's Outdoors. Even if you look at the, you know, title of the episode and you see, you know, like an African big game hunting, well, listen, you know, you're driving somewhere or you're doing your yard work, put it on, listen, you might find something interesting, or at least this is going to open your mind a little bit. So this is definitely my goal, to continue on that trajectory and position, keep positioning Tommy's Outdoors as a platform for conversation where, you know, everybody have an opportunity to present their own point of view. And I think we need that because a lot of conversation on these subjects are happening on social media, on Facebooks and Twitters of this world. And these are just not the mediums for discussion. It's like, right? But if you can sit with someone and you can have, you know, hour, 2 hours to really trash it out and dig and ask follow-up questions and like, did I understood you correctly, right? And then those people are also not limited to the, you know, 300 hard characters limit. They can actually, you know, advance their thoughts properly. That changes the way of conversation tremendously, and this is what I look forward to do in, you know, in the future.
And I think you've definitely set the show up for that. Like I mentioned earlier, and I keep mentioning that's one of the reasons I do seriously enjoy your show, is the fact that anybody can come on and you allow them to come on and converse with you, and you converse with them on very different points of view, and it allows listeners to really knuckle in and get different viewpoints to really make an educated decision on something. And it's something that we don't have enough of, I think. So kudos to you for that, for sure. So Tommy, I've really enjoyed chatting with you, and I could have a far longer episode. Maybe we'll have to have a revisit, like a season five revisit or something.
Anytime.
For people that want to connect with you online and, you know, chat with you, you mentioned they can connect and you're happy to chat with their viewpoints, etc. Where's the best place for them to find you online and connect?
Sure. The best place is to go to tommysoutdoors.com. This is my website. This is my blog. Also, any and all podcasting platforms. People who listen to podcasts, they know they have their, you know, weapon of choice for podcasting. So I don't have to tell you how. But tommysoutdoors.com, definitely go in there and explore the page. There's a search box in there. And there are occasional blogs in there. There are videos on my YouTube channel, which are not necessarily like a podcast version of video, but like a short videos. I enjoy, doing like a short form videos as well. Explore that page. There's a download page. There is a recommendation for Christmas books at the moment. So definitely tommysoutdoors.com is the best place. There's also a contact form. So by all means, if you want to get in touch, hit about, and under about section, there's a few words about me and the contact form. So tommysoutdoors.com, from there, you will, you know, find me in any and all platforms that you may enjoy.
And I can recommend that because I got lost in a rabbit hole when I visited your site, and it was an awesome rabbit hole finding all these different categories, subcategories, videos, book recommendations. It was awesome. I spent quite an enjoyable period of time in there. So I will leave the link to Tommy's website in the show notes. So if you're listening on your favorite app, make sure to check the show notes and you can get the link there. But I seriously recommend not only listening to the show, but just check out the website. It's very cool. So Tommy, again, thank you for appearing, and I'm looking forward to the listeners, you know, learning from your chat today.
Danny, thank you very much. Thanks for the opportunity, and all the best.